We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Bryn Aiken, and on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing, I will be doing another casual entertainment discussion episode of the podcast. It'll be a little shorter than the last, the first and last one of those that I did, which was like an hour or something. This will probably only be like maybe 30 minutes, 35 minutes, same length as last week's episode. I kind of wanted to talk about this issue because, it's just something I found interesting, something interesting that's been going on in the entertainment industry. And I thought, well, I didn't have anything planned for this week, so this would be a perfect thing to talk about. And also, sorry for the fact that I am posting this a day later. I thought that I'd have time to record this episode and post it yesterday, but I didn't get back from... I was getting back from vacation with my dad, and then we had to cut... we do some lawn care work for some people. And we had one of our clients wanted us to cut her yard, and by the time we got done, there was a whole issue with some of our equipment with one of the lawnmowers, and we didn't really get done until like 9:30, and neither of us had eaten dinner, so I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to go get dinner, relax, watch some TV, I'll, you know, record this one tomorrow, so. But yeah, sorry for the delay, but, you know, I figured I'd have way more time today, so. But yeah. Thank you all for waiting, though. I appreciate that. So, yeah, the writer's strike that's been going on. If you haven't been keeping up with the news in the entertainment industry recently, you won't know this, but the writers from the Writers Guild of America have been on strike for about a month now. The strike began at midnight on May 2nd, so... Next Friday will have been a full month since this strike has been going on. And essentially, the reason why this is happening, or what this the strike is between the Writers Guild of America, the WGA, labor union, which represents 11,500 writers. And those writers, you know, are from, you know, television, you know, both, you know, live, you know, or cable and streaming services, movie writers, late night talk show writers, radio writers, or writers for, you know, radio shows, you know, and probably some more that I'm forgetting to include, but, you know, basically a bunch of writers from like all, you know, parts of the entertainment industry. And basically it's all of them, the ones in, and, you know, they're comprised in L.A. and, you know, California and New York City in New York. And it's all of them striking. It's a dispute between them and the AMPTP, which stands for the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. And basically, they, you know, were for 6 weeks before May 2nd. So the 6 weeks before May 2nd, they were in negotiations. They were in talks with the AMPTP about, you know, increasing their wages and, you know, like being fairly compensated for their work, but they failed to come to an agreement. So they went on strike May 2nd, and it's, you know, no progress has been made since May 2nd. You know, it's been the same pretty much for the past month. I'm sure eventually they'll come to an agreement, but as of right now, yeah, the production on several shows and movies that were being written and or filmed, you know, has halted. Some examples being, well, I believe production has halted on House of the Dragon. I know they've already finished writing season two, but I feel like they probably won't, you know, continue, you know, move forward with filming the actual show until this strike has settled, you know, until they've all come to an agreement. But yeah, that's for now, it seems like that's been halted on that production has. production and I guess writing, because I'm not sure, I don't think they're done with season five, but, you know, production on season five of Stranger Things has also been halted. Funnily enough, Andor is continuing to film despite the writer's strike happening. They're like, you know, they're like, well, we can film this and you know, we can direct and film season two without writers. And part of me was like, I was just sitting there when I saw that post and I was reading up on that. I was like, I don't know how to feel about this because, you know, season one was so great. I loved season one, and season two is, it's, you know, apparently going to be two seasons and, you know, that'll be the end of the show. So, you know, I'd really hate for the back half of the show, the last season, you know, to be, you know, just lacking in quality, you know, because it's like, well, the writers, I mean, you know, there are several factors that go into making a movie or a show what it is. And, you know, a large part of that has to do with the writers. I mean, they're a large contributor for, you know, the quality of a show you're watching. Because, you know, without them, I mean, you have some pretty visuals, you know, you have some, and, you know, probably some, depending on the type of show you're watching, you know, some amazing CGI work and maybe some practical effects thrown in. But without the writers, you don't really have the substance for your story. It's just art, you know. I mean, probably most likely beautiful art, you know, visually speaking, it'll look great. But, you know, emotionally speaking, you know, and, you know, you just lack a story, you know. It's just, yeah, visuals. Okay, I'm repeating myself. But, yeah, you know, so it's, the writers play a huge part in making shows and movies, you know, the level of quality that they are, or that we've come to expect from Hollywood, you know, overall. And sure, not everything is of the highest quality, and there are some trash shows and movies, you know, bad movies and shows that are, that have been made and are still being made. But, you know, and again, some, and it's all a matter of opinion. Some shows are better than others. Some movies are better than others. You know, but a lot of people tend to agree that, like, you know, reality shows specifically, you know, reality shows are some of the ones that take the least amount of effort, you know, maybe not like production wise, but, you know, definitely writing wise, because, you know, it's like, well, it's not scripted. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's just, you know, you're filming whatever wacky shit that the, whatever reality show it is, you know, whatever competition it is, you know, you don't really need writers for that because it's like, you're filming whatever the competition is, you know, you're getting reactions from the competitors, you know, from the members of the team or the individual members of, you know, like whatever show it is, like Big Brother, Survivor, the any of the Jersey Shore spinoff shows that are still going on, you know, and yeah, so they take the least amount of effort. So, you know, with this strike going on, that we'll probably be seeing more, we'll definitely be seeing more like reality TV, because that takes the least amount of effort writing wise, and we'll also be seeing a lot more reruns of previous show episodes, like all the late night talk shows, you know, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, which they've already started doing that the last few weeks, ever since the strike happened. They've been replaying old, well, not old, but like episodes from like maybe a month or two ago, you know, like more recent episodes, but still like reruns of episodes that have already aired, you know. And, you know, we'll definitely be seeing a lot more of that this fall. I'm sure whenever they come to an agreement, you know, production will pick back up just like that, you know. And I mean, obviously it takes time to write shows and movies, but I'm sure if they come to an agreement sometime this year, we'll probably see, you know, shows, you know, whether it's the shows that air on TV, like the NBC, ABC, Fox sitcoms or the drama shows, you know, or you know, whether it's them or like the TV shows on streaming services, you know, we'll eventually see them come back this fall or in the spring of 2024. But, you know, we don't know what exactly, like how long the AMPTP are willing to hold out, you know, because it could be, I don't know, it's been a while since this has happened, you know, but basically, I mean, the whole issue, you know, comes from, or the whole reason this has happened in the first, or this happened to begin with, is because basically the AMPTP and the WGA meet every 3 years to, like, renegotiate, you know, the pay, the writers' pay and all that, and just renegotiate their contracts and all that. And in 2020, would, you know, the last time, because that was 3 years ago, that was the last time they had their meeting, they didn't take into account, you know, streaming services, you know, weren't really brought up in the equation, you know. But now, especially within these last 3 years, there have been an abundance of streaming services, and streaming has, there have been way more TV shows and movies that have been released on streaming services. And I mean, you know, because think about it. In 2020, we had, well, okay, yeah, like I'm not quite sure when they met in 2020, but, you know, the beginning of 2020, you know, we had, because at first it was just Netflix, and then eventually we got Hulu, and then Prime Video. But in 2019, like, I believe like 2 weeks apart from each other, we got Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus. So in the beginning of 2020, we already had like at least five big streaming services. But then throughout 2020, and from, you know, then until now, we've had like, I want to say like seven more streaming services pop up. Because in May of that year of 2020, we had HBO Max, which now has rebranded themselves to just be Max. And then we had Peacock in like 2021. And Paramount Plus also was in, it was in March of 2021, and then Peacock came a little bit later in 2021. And then we had, well, one that failed miserably, Quibi, which was like a short format type of streaming service, which was basically, you know, like short shows, short format shows meant to watch on your mobile devices. And, you know, the reason that didn't do so well is because, you know, sometimes people want to watch the shows on like the big screen, you know, like on their TVs or their laptops. They don't always want to watch them on their phone. And because that streaming service was designed for you to watch on your mobile devices, mostly your phone, you know, it kind of failed, because it's like, well, I can't watch it on my TV at home if I want to. And, you know, I don't always want to strain my eyes looking at my phone while I binge something. And, you know, sometimes I like shorter form content, but sometimes I want longer episodes of the show I'm watching. And, you know, and they were like short episodes of these shows that Quibi was producing. So yeah, they went under within, I think, 6 months maybe. But yeah, you know, and then we've had MGM a few months ago. MGM came out with MGM Plus. And then we've had I don't know, I feel like we've had a few more. But yeah, so that's like I want to say 8, 9 already. And probably more on the way, honestly, depending on, oh, wait, does Universal, no, that's, okay, I was gonna say Universal has one, but no, that's, I guess that's Paramount Plus I'm thinking of. But yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, like, there's already so many streaming services now that, I mean, there are still shows, you know, that are airing on TV, and, you know, being made for TV, but even then, a lot of them are, you know, are advertised with, you know, during the promos for those shows, you'll see at the very end, it says, oh yeah, stream next day on Hulu, or, you know, stream next day on, Amazon Prime or something like that, you know. And, you know, so streaming has become even bigger of a thing in these last 3 years alone than it was even in 2020, because yeah, at the beginning of 2020, we had, you know, again, if, assuming that the last meeting they had was before May of 2020, we had like five streaming services. And now since then, we have like double that, if more, you know, we may have like 11 at this. I think I lost track, but we definitely have more than, we have like double the amount we had in the beginning of 2020. So, you know, the writers wanting to be paid more for, and, you know, and have their pay reflect their work on, you know, especially on streaming services, makes sense because, you know, kind of like what they're getting paid for is essentially what they were, you know, like their pay is reflecting how TV used to be, you know, a few years ago when there weren't as many streaming services. But now that they're such a big part of, you know, how we view content and, you know, where we get our, watch our shows, you know, it's like, yeah, they should definitely get paid more. You know, they should definitely have their pay increased a little bit more because of how, you know, much work goes into, you know, making shows for streaming. And it's crazy. It's crazy too, because you think that I hear a lot of people say when it comes to streaming services that, oh yeah, this is ridiculous. Why does it take 2 years or a year and a half or whatever for a season of 8 to 10 episodes, maybe 12, but you know, if we're lucky, 12, you know, but, it seems like every now and it seems like every show now has like 8 hour long episodes or maybe not even 8 hour long, maybe 8 45-minute episodes a season. And then, you know, we have the show for 8 weeks or 7, 8 weeks, and then we got to wait 2.5, 2 years. This is ridiculous. And, you know, part of me used to think that as well, but, you know, now I'm kind of realizing that it's not really that big a deal to wait. I mean, you know, sometimes people are just can be so impatient, but, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into making shows, and especially shows with a lot of CGI or that are like really story heavy and have like a lot of action and everything, like Stranger Things, you know, The Boys, House of the Dragon, Andor. You know, the reason why they're so long, the breaks between each season of those shows is so long is because more work, not just in terms of the writing, but more work with the practical and CGI effects, and you know, more work has to be put into that as well to make it look good, you know, make sure the quality visually looks good as well. You know, and because of streaming services, shows are willing to, and more often than not are, streamlined. Like more shows nowadays have a story, like have overarching plots and an overarching story that builds and grows and you know, changes and affects the show going forward, like throughout each season. And you know, back then, like on, you know, before streaming services, most shows didn't really have like an overarching story. And also a lot of shows tended to be, and not saying all were, but you know, if you weren't like the hour long dramas, you were, and you know, you weren't like the late night talk shows or anything, you were like a half hour sitcom, whether it had a laugh track or not, you know, like any kind of sitcom, but you were like a half hour, 22 minute sitcom. And you know, you had like 22 episodes, 24 maybe, a season. And the reason why sitcoms, you know, shows back then used to have those long, you know, really long seasons is because they had to, you know, take into account, okay, well, from the fall to the spring season of TV, you know, there are a certain amount of weeks. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, they don't even have enough episodes for that amount of weeks, you know. So like that's why sometimes whenever you're watching, like, you know, if you're a fan of like Bob's Burgers or your Family Guy or, you know, any of the shows that air during the fall and spring seasons, you know, like that still air on TV, you know, that's why every now and then there'll be like a month-long break in between episodes of those shows, is because they didn't write enough episodes for that amount of weeks. And, you know, that's also why, like, they take off the week of Christmas and, you know, they take off a few weeks until, like, the beginning of January and stuff like that. But, yeah, you know, so, you know, and shows, there are still a lot of shows and a lot of sitcoms that do have, like, 20-episode seasons. But, you know, there are more and more sitcoms joining the streaming service shows, but definitely a lot more shows, whether they're, you know, 30-minute sitcoms or, you know, hour-long dramas, or just shows for streaming in general, that are going with the shorter format. And when I say shorter, I don't mean necessarily, like, episode length, but in terms of season length. You know, they're definitely going for the shorter form seasons because, you know, it's like it's easier to tell a story in a... I mean, some might argue the opposite, but the way I see it, it's easier to tell a story in a... it's easier to tell a more tightly written story in a shorter amount of time than it is a really long amount of time. Because if you have like a 20-episode season, you know, I'm not saying that you couldn't do it, but like whatever story you're trying to tell, depending on what it is and how many beats it has in the story and, you know, what happens within it, you know, it can feel like it's being dragged out. But, you know, you have an 8 to 12 episode season of like, you know, 30, 45 minute hour long episodes, you know, each, then it can be easier to streamline that story. You know, it can be easier to like, you know, write out, you know, make bullet points of like, okay, what do we need to happen in the story this season? You know, where do we want this season to go? And it's, you know, that's pretty much what's been happening these last few years with shows. And an example, a good example of this is with the, actually, what show? Okay, yeah, so, for example, Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, with the exception of the first season, because that was like 7 episodes, that, each episode, or each season after that had 13, seasons 2 through 4 had 13 episodes, and then the final season, season 5, had 16 episodes. But then when you get to Better Call Saul, there each season, well, with the exception of season 6, has 10 episodes a season. Season 6, of course, had 13 episodes. But still, you know, each season of Better Call Saul had, or for the most part, had fewer episodes than its predecessor, than Breaking Bad. And you know, and of course, that show aired on TV, it aired on AMC, but, you know, Breaking Bad was so huge on Netflix, you know, they brought Better Call Saul to Netflix once, you know, after a few months after it had aired on AMC. And you know, people definitely are willing to, you know, watch shows. People are definitely willing to binge shows that are hour-long episodes more likely than they are to watch a really long movie. You know, as studies have shown recently, you know, and just people in general are like that because, you know, if you have a movie that's like 3-4 hours, you know, if you go to, you know, that's why a lot of movies do so well streaming too, because especially longer movies, I'm pretty sure do well streaming because you can pause the movie and get up and, you know, stop it whenever you want and come back to it. But, you know, like people sitting in a theater watching the movie can't do that. You know, they have to sit through the whole thing. But meanwhile, with shows that are like, you know, it's like, oh, well, how can you watch, you know, people will make this, bring this point up all the time. Well, how can you watch a show, binge like hours of a show, you know, that has hour long episodes and like a 10 episode season or something, but you can't watch a 4-hour movie, or you complain about a movie being 3 or 4 hours long. And, you know, the reason why people do that is because, you know, again, you're watching a show on your TV. You can pause it and come back to it whenever you want. But with a movie, you can't, you know, because you're sitting in the theater watching it. I guess I kind of went off on a little bit of a side discussion. But, you know, my point being is that, yeah, so with streaming, you know, shows have become more streamlined and seasons have become shorter because, you know, a lot of shows now focus, a lot of them are focused a little bit more on story and developing that story throughout a tightly knit season of a show and a tightly knit show in general. Like, you know, like a lot of shows now are starting to, you know, we're having, and again, like sitcoms used to go maybe 8, and, you know, if you were really popular, you know, maybe 10, maybe 12, 11 or 12 years, you know, because, you know, they were sitcoms, you know, they had years of stories to tell, and they didn't really have that huge of an overarching story that felt like it could be dragged on, you know. But with, again, shows like The Boys, Stranger Things, Breaking Bad, etc., you know, that you can cut Game of Thrones, you know, I could keep going, but you know, shows like those definitely, and you can tell like from the first episode, and maybe not quite the first episode, but you can tell while you're watching those shows that, okay, these shows have a finite amount of episodes and a finite amount of seasons. Like, this is a show that is going to end and definitely has a conclusion at some point. Like, it's not going to just keep going on forever with no point to existing other than just to keep making money. You know, it has a story to tell. It has a point to make, whether it's to entertain you or tell a message, or, you know, have a message, but, you know, it has a point to exist. You know, it's telling you a story, it's entertaining you, it's keeping you invested on the edge of your seat, you know, and, you know, with, you know, and that's, you know, good, you know, that's kind of what you want, and the writers should definitely be compensated a little bit more fairly for their efforts, because, in my opinion, it does, to me, it does seem to take more time and effort with these shows than it does, like, with your sitcoms, you know, especially the sitcoms of, you know, some of the older sitcoms that, you know, had 20 episode seasons. And I say older, I mean, there still are sitcoms that do that, but you know, those shows, not saying they don't take effort or care, or that there aren't effort and care put into them, but they might not take quite as much as the streaming service shows that have 8 to 12 episodes a season, because, you know, you do kind of have to more tightly write a more tight focused story for each season and for each episode, you know, because you have again, finite amount of episodes to deal with. And, you know, and, you know, the writers, for all these shows, I'd say do a really good job with, the material they're given. You know, they're like, okay, we got to sit down and think this through. How's this episode end? How's this season end? Where do we see the show ending? You know, we got to make sure this ends on a good note. And there are a few more points I forgot to mention too. But, you know, besides streaming services, you know, taking them into account, that's a factor as to why the writers have gone on strike. But also the introduction of AI. You know, AI has helped, you know, has been helping people throughout these last couple years, whether it's been like with their art or, you know, or writing, but, you know, the writers are, and I wouldn't say that they're worried about being replaced by AI, but they're worried that the executives, like the corporate bigwigs are going to think that they're expendable. Yeah, sorry, I was trying to think of the right word. They're thinking that the corporate bigwigs are going to start to think of them as expendable or disposable, because they're like, oh, well, we don't need a writer here. We have this AI. We have ChatGPT, which, you know, has been around since November of last year. You know, but it's still a relatively new, you know, communication app. You know, or it's still a relatively new thing, and its stable release, like its official stable release, wasn't, it didn't even become officially stable, you know, until like the 12th, and that was only like 2 weeks ago, or a little over 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, sure, ChatGPT and AI in general are good to use for helping writers, but, you know, the writers don't, I get the sense that it's like, yeah, that we don't want to be replaced. You know, we want to make sure that our pay reflects, you know, our ability to do our job correctly. And, you know, we want to make sure that it reflects how the effort and care and dedication and time that we put into our shows. And we don't want you guys to see us as more of a tool, and the ChatGPT and the AI as more of the, oh, okay, we're going to go with you. You know, it's like, we're going to start trusting you more than the actual writers. Or we're going to start, trusting AI more than you guys. Because, you know, I mean, it's a tool. AI is a tool like anything else that you use for a job. And, I mean, not quite like anything else, but, you know, it's essentially, you know, a tool that makes your job or your hobby, like if writing's your hobby, you know, it makes it easier, you know. But you don't want to use it as a crutch. You don't want to use that as your. You don't want to just use AI for writing shows because you lose that. I mean, like, yes, while it may help, you kind of lose that human touch if you solely rely on a computer to write your show or your movie or whatever, you know? And, you know, I mean, because, you know, it's like, yeah, an AI can replicate a lot amount of stuff, but it's still new technology and we're still getting used to using as a tool. So, you know, so it's like, don't, you know, keep the writers in mind with this. You know, like, obviously, you know, we're not, they're not saying, none of the writers are saying, oh, let's not use AI. They're just saying, hey, don't replace us or don't even think about replacing us with this artificial intelligence, this computer, this software app, because, you know, we have been putting years. We've been at this craft for years. You know, we've been, well, some of us are maybe new, but we've been working to get to this position for years, or we've been in this position for years, and we've put a lot of care and time and energy into making what we do the best it can be, you know, and we don't want to see this new technology come in and just take all that away from us. So, you know, those are kind of like the main factors, the two really big main factors as to why the writers are striking now. And you know, this has happened before. It happened in 1986, or no, not 1988. And then it happened in 2007, the year, it went on from like November of 2007 to, I want to say, oh, okay, it was November 5th, 2007 to February 12th, 2008. And so that was over 15 years ago. There almost was one that happened in 2017, but they came to an agreement, you know, and then obviously they came to an agreement in 2020, but, you know, for the main factors, the reasons that I just mentioned, or that I've been talking about throughout the episode, they didn't come to an agreement, during this 3-year meeting, or this, the you know, this, meeting this, for this 3-year gap, or not gap, but this 3-year anniversary, you know, it's like, the next meeting, you know, it's like, well, didn't come to an agreement, so this happened again. But, yeah, it happened twice before, and the last time it happened was over a decade and a half ago. And the reason it happened then was because they, you know, basically, they sought, the WGA sought increased funding for themselves, you know, for the writers, in comparison to the profits of the larger studios. And, you know, they eventually, again, came to an agreement. But it went on for 14 weeks and 2 days. So the fact that, you know, the fact that the previous strike went on for 3 months and 8 days, we're not even a month into this one. You know, who knows how long this one can go on? Because there are a few more factors going into this one. And, you know, and another reason why that strike happened, you know, I mean, over them not only them not agreeing on the writer's salary, but it was also, well, I guess this has to do with not agreeing on the salary too, but the writers also, you know, DVDs were way bigger back then than they are now. So back then they felt like they weren't getting enough money from DVD sales, like the percentage wise, you know, and there's like, well, we feel like we could be making, I think it was like 0.3 they were making, and they're like, we think we could and should be making like 0.6% of like the sales from DVDs. I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And the the AMPTP didn't believe so, you know. But yeah, and you know, that's why a lot of shows during that time were, you know, had shorter seasons. Take, for example, The Office. The Office, its fourth season aired from 2007 to 2008. And besides the fact, I mean, not besides the fact, but other than the first season of The Office, season 4 is the second shortest season of the whole show. It's like 14 or 16 episodes, when the seasons typically ran for like anywhere between like 20 and 27 episodes. So yeah, they definitely had a lot more each season of that show, with the exception of season one, had a lot more episodes during their seasons. And season four was cut short because the writer's strike happened. And, you know, Breaking Bad was also affected by the writer's strike. It was supposed to have, I believe, 9 episodes for season one, but they had to cut 2. So season one ended up only being 7 episodes long. And, yeah, so, and it's been a long time since the previous strike. And I totally get why the writers are striking now. I mean, it makes sense with the way, with, you know, the introduction, the inclusion of ChatGPT and AI in general, and the fact that, you know, streaming services are, you know, kind of the new norm, or like the more looked up, not the new norm, but like I guess the new norm in terms of like or the next big thing in terms of like where people go to watch their shows and movies, and especially shows, because people still go to the theater to watch movies, and people still watch TV. I mean, there are still, cable still exists. It's just not as mainstream as it was 15 years ago, back when, you know, back 15 years ago when you only had Netflix and maybe Hulu. But even then, Netflix wasn't even, actually, yeah, now that I think about it, I don't think Hulu was around then, because Netflix at that time, in the late 2000s, and I guess mid-2000s, it was like Blockbuster, but for like through the mail. Like you could order online movies from the company, from Netflix, and movies and shows, and they would mail them to your house. But then it wasn't until like 2011 that they became a streaming service, and it wasn't even until 2013 when they first, you know, started creating their own original content, you know, like Orange is the New Black. I believe Orange is the New Black was their first show. So, you know, yeah, and then Hulu came shortly after, and then now, 15 years later, we have like 8 or 9 more streaming services that are all in competition with each other. And, it, you know, it's just crazy how many there are. But, yeah, you know, it's an oversaturation of streaming services, but, you know, there obviously are still subscribers to a lot of these streaming services because they're still around. But, you know, they need to realize, you know, the corporate bigwigs need to understand that the writers, you know, because streaming, you know, taking into account that streaming is way bigger now than it was the last time this strike happened, you know, they kind of need to take a step back and understand that they should, I'm not sure what the pay increase should be. I'm not quite sure what they wanted it to be either. But you know, they wanted a little bit more. They wanted to be compensated a little bit more fairly for this change in the way we view our entertainment, you know, because, you know, it does affect them. And it's, and you know, when you know, until this stops, I mean, you know, until this, until they agree upon a certain wage, you know, or pay increase for the writers, until the two, you know, companies, until they, sorry, until the two companies, I had a brain fart, until the two companies, or until the AMPTP and, yeah, WGA come to an agreement on the pay increase, you know, what the fair wage should be for the writers, then, you know, these next few months, will be, I mean, it, you know, it's the summer, so obviously there aren't too many shows that are airing right now, you know, but they'll definitely, production on a lot of shows and movies will be put on halt, and, you know, we'll be seeing a lot more reruns and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm sure eventually they'll come to an agreement, because, you know, this has happened twice before, and the last time it happened, I mean, it took, you know, 3 months is a while, but it's not the longest amount of time imaginable. You know, it took 3 months for them, and a few days for them to sort through the last strike. So, you know, maybe it won't take that long this time. Maybe the AMPTP and WGA will, you know, come to an, will, you know, come to an agreement sooner rather than later. If it's later rather than sooner, well, you know, we have we have reruns. You know, we have there are still a shit ton of shows that I'm sure not everyone has even begun to start watching. I know there are still shows that I'm watching, shows that I'm thinking about starting to watch. So, you know, it doesn't matter how long this takes, as long as they come to an agreement sooner rather than later, but more so for their sake, you know, as soon as they come to an agreement, you know, so they can get back on track, you know, the writers and the makeup artists, the directors, the executive producers, so everyone in the entertainment industry can get back to work and start making their money, you know, and you know, I mean, yeah, and yes, I do want this to come to an end so the shows can come back, but I'm not really, like, when I say that, I'm not trying to sound greedy. I mean, I it's fine. Whenever they come back, they'll come back. But I do want it to come soon so that way, you know, shows can start, you know, ramping back up production. Or they can start ramping up production with all the shows and movies. But I do, you know, I don't want that to happen until they come to an agreement, and it won't, you know, because the writers, you know, should get paid what they believe they should. You know, they should get paid fairly for their work, because like I said earlier, a lot of their work, you know, shows and movies wouldn't be what they are without the writers. You know, the writers are like the backbone of any good story. I mean, of any good show or movie. And yeah, I mean, and obviously, you know, there are a lot of, you know, all the people that work on shows and movies are important, but writers are, like I said, probably the backbone of any good show or movie. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how long this takes. Hopefully it won't take too long, but, you know, you never know. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, we definitely can go a few months or the back half of this year without any new shows premiering, because, you know, there are way too many shows out right now. I mean, not saying that like it's a bad thing, but there are plenty of enough that, well, I'll just say this, there are plenty of shows, there are more than enough shows right now for all of us to watch, you know, and obviously we don't all have to watch every show. But, you know, I mean, I'll put it this way, we're not starved for content because, you know, we have so many shows and movies that have come out this year alone, but not even just this year, but like within the past few years and several years in the, you know, in the past. And, you know, we'll be fine for a few months or the back half of this year, you know, but yeah, hopefully, you know, okay, this ended up being a little bit longer than the previous episode, but I'll go ahead and end it here, and just, you know, end the episode by saying that hopefully, you know, they can come to an agreement, the WGA and the AMPTP, and, you know, and hopefully they can figure out what, pay will satiate the writers, you know, like what, and I mean, and obviously, like, what the writers are willing to come back to work for, you know, like what would appease them, like what would be good, what pay would be good enough for them. Because, you know, I mean, any job, not just the writers, you know, should be, any job that anyone does should be treated, you know, they should be paid for, they should be compensated for fairly. So hopefully they will be within the next, hopefully sooner rather than later for them, you know. But yeah, so, I guess that does it for tonight's episode. Yeah, again, it went longer than I thought it would. I guess I had a little bit more to say than I thought I did. And I probably didn't go as in detail as I could have because I haven't gone too in depth as to what's been going on. But I've read a few articles and a few headlines of some articles and watched a couple videos talking about it. So I felt like I knew enough to where I could make a video, or not a video, a podcast episode on it. And plus, you know, it's something, I didn't have anything scheduled for this week, and I thought, oh, this would be fun to talk about, you know, interesting to talk about. So, you know, just put my two cents out there. And I'm sure a lot of people agree with my opinion on this issue. So, but yeah, so that does it for tonight's episode. I hope you, oh yeah, next week I will have two episodes out. Next Thursday, I will be reviewing Barry, the HBO original series. It finally comes to an end this Sunday, and I'm excited for the finale. But that will be Thursday night, and Friday night, or Friday afternoon, depending on when I go see the movie, I will be reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the highly anticipated Spider-Verse sequel. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I loved Into the Spider-Verse when it came out in 2018, and I've been waiting for the sequel forever. So those episodes will be next Thursday and Friday again. And I hope you guys look forward to them. But yeah, with that being said, I hope you guys have a great weekend, great Memorial Day weekend. And I will see you all next Thursday and next Friday. And until then, take care.